We'll be in the book of Job tonight, the first chapter. I'll probably say some things from throughout the entire first chapter. For the sake of time, though, I'll only read a portion of Scripture just to set the tone. While everybody's getting settled, I do want to say, Miss Camille, I appreciate you sharing that. That God touched my heart with that when you said that. And I've been down the road and seen enough things in my own life that I know, whether we can understand or not, however God worked it out, that's God's business. But no doubt back yonder, God saw fit to somehow hold back a portion of that because He knew you'd need that this week. You say, I don't know if I believe that. I'm going to pray for you because I do. I serve that kind of God. He knows it all, Brother Robert. Amen. He knows it all. And But I need prayer tonight. Brother Dennis, I thought about you this afternoon. Brother Hyde, you know, he said something a couple weeks to me and you about preaching this week. And I guess I've sort of been reading and studying on quite a few different things and sort of had my notes and my scriptures all laid out, Brother Joe. And I sat there and got to reading this afternoon. And it's actually the same passage I've been reading, but God turned my direction. And He said, I want you to preach this. And I said, well, Lord, I ain't really sitting and give that a lot of thought. He said, who are you trusting? Who are you trusting, me or your notes? So we're going to try to do God's will tonight. And like I said, for the sake of time, I'm going to start with verse 13. I'm going to read a few verses. And then, well, I'll tell you what, let's back up. Let's look at verse 6. I'll actually take the message from about 14 on down, but just to set the tone, we'll start with verse 6. It says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, and perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. I'd say that's a pretty good testimony. I mean, I pray I could carry that kind of testimony. Verse 9, then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went from the presence of the Lord. Amen. If the Lord would help me, I want to preach on this thought tonight. Satanic desires against God's nature. Yeah. Satanic desires against God's nature. Brother Robert, I really feel I'd like for you to pray. I feel like I need the Lord's help.
My Father, pray
God of heaven, I ask you for your help tonight. I pray, Lord, above all else, you'd honor and glorify your Son. And I pray he'd be lifted up before our eyes. Lord, I pray you'd help the hearts of your people tonight.
God of heaven, I pray thy will be done. I pray, Lord, that these folks not see me, but they see you. They not hear my voice, but hear from heaven. God, they not hear my opinion, but hear truth. God, that you might feed us. God, that we might grow closer to you. Oh, God of heaven, I pray for your help.
And
I need you, Lord, I'm but man.
And just turn
and I trust and believe you now.
And help us,
Jesus,
my Father, that we'll receive the word of God that will help us, our Father, in the life in which we live. My Father, I'm glad tonight, God, that we can gather together one more time on this side of eternity to look to you, our Father, for need and in help. And I'm glad tonight, God, that we can always look to you for everything in this wide, weakened world that we would even need. And I'm glad we're serving a God that's able to supply that need according to the will of God. And I, Father, you know every heart that's here tonight, Lord, and you know what we need, and I pray, God, that you'll bless it, you'll supply every need according to your precious will, and thine will may be done. And again, God, I pray for Daniel, Lord, that you'll bless him, God, that you'll help him to preach the word of God, make it easy for him to preach it. Fill him with the power of God, turn him loose, and let him preach. And we be careful, God, to say thank you and to praise you, give you all the honor and all the glory for everything in this wide, wicked world that you do for us. Also, our pastor away, I pray, God,
yes,
that you have a heart that's with him. You'll take care of him, supply every need, and bring him home safe in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Brother Robert. As we look around our world today, Brother Keith, our homes, our communities, our nation, our churches, I don't think any of us in here tonight would deny the fact that we're in a mess. That we've got satanic forces coming at us from all sides. The enemy is in a rage, Brother Keith. The enemy, Satan, he is determined. He's going to destroy all that walks in the name of God. Especially in this country in our day and time. You probably won't hear me preach anything tonight you ain't never heard before. And I sort of understand as I stand here tonight what my pastor, Brother Heights, said to me many a times, and I've heard him preach it many a times. There's times you just got it built up in you and you got to let it go. I mean, you just got to stomp the tar out of stuff. I don't think there's nobody in here in danger or nothing I'm going to preach tonight. But it's good to be reminded, Brother Keith. We know that we're being heard by way of the internet, by other people. I don't know why. As I look at this, we see that a lot of bad things, and we're getting ready to read about it, fell upon Job. Job was not aware, I don't believe, of the conversation God and Satan just had. Job had no clue why things were befalling upon him, Brother Tim. All he knew was that it was. And I think it's important to look at how he reacted to it. I don't think of any of us has had no rougher occurrences to come on us in life than what Job faced. And as you read, we find that Job certainly sat down and grieved. And Job certainly was hurting. He no doubt was discouraged. We find later in the book his three best friends came and they even mocked him. His wife even mocked him and told him just to curse God and die. Job was in it pretty deep, Brother Robert, but what Job didn't realize was that Satan was doing this to him, but Satan had limits on him. I've said it before. He wasn't going to be able to go no further than God was going to let him. I can't for the life of me explain to you tonight, Brother Todd, why all God decided to allow Satan bring this in Job's life. But I know one thing. There was a reason and there was a purpose for it. God knew just exactly what he was doing. The will of God was being done as rough as it was on Job. Amen. And God was in control.
And I'd like to encourage us tonight that when we hit that bump in the road, when we're having a bad day, young man, when it seems like the world's against us and everything's going wrong, and we can't figure out why. I almost told Brother Hyde I was going to preach a message sort out of this passage on why bad things come on us. I was going to title the message, Where'd You Come From? That's sort of the way I feel sometimes. Things pop up, Brother Keith. I feel like things are going pretty good, and I'm having a pretty good day. Then something else will just come up out of the blue and hit me right square between the eyes and knock me for a loop, Brother Joe. And it almost in my heart makes me feel like I just want to scream out, oh no, where'd you come from? But Job did not do that. I got to look at that. Job didn't do that. It said, and all even Job said, he did not sin with his lips against God. Amen. Job just trusted and held on to the God that he worshiped and served. He didn't understand why everything was happening to him. But I believe in his heart, Brother Robert, he knew God was in control. And somehow or another, I think about them three Hebrew boys over there about to get thrown in that fiery furnace. They said that our God is able to deliver us from you, but if he don't, he's still God.
Yeah.
Amen. And I'll be all right. There's times, and I'll just use myself. I'm sure there'll be a day to come, if the Lord don't rapture us out before then, I'll be laying on my deathbed. And no doubt I'm like anybody else in the flesh, I won't be liking it, but in the inward man, in the spirit, Brother Keith, I'll be rejoicing because I know I'm about to cross over and go on home. And even though I might be laying there suffering, and I might be in pain, and I might be sick, and I might be feeling the worst I've ever felt in my life, I'll have the peace and the comfort in my heart knowing that God's in control and he's going to bring me through it. Amen. And if I take my last breath and I don't come up off the sick bed, Brother Dennis, amen, I'll wake up in glory as soon as I take that last breath and be with him, and I'll be better off than I've ever been a day of my life. Amen. Let's look at verse 13. We're preaching on satanic desires against God's nature. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. We find these Sabaeans here. They fell on them, no doubt, out in the field. And I find it interesting, Brother Keith, that it mentions the oxen. Amen. The oxen was beasts of burden. They're used to plow. Amen. Is that right? They're used out there on that farm life. They used to tear up that ground and plow that you might prepare the ground that you can come behind it and plant and water and then trust God to give the increase. Amen. And bring forth fruit for your labor. Amen. That sort of sounds like the gospel, don't it? Amen. That sounds like the work of the church, the work of the man of God. Preaching. And it said in here, and the asses were feeding beside them. Sounds like whatever the ox was producing, the rest of that crowd, them other beasts, was feeding off of it and living off of it pretty good. Amen. And that's the way it ought to be. And I'll assure you, and this is my first point, that there is a satanic desire by the devil to destroy the gospel. The nature of the gospel. What is the nature of the gospel? It's sinners need to be saved by the grace of God because they're sinners, Brother Keith. That's what they are. Amen. I would hope tonight that you understand that this Bible teaches us, this ain't my opinion, that is what we are. That's why we're in trouble, because we are a sinner. The first time you sin don't make you a sinner. You start sinning because you are a sinner. You're not in trouble with God because of what you've done. You're in trouble for what you are. Amen. That's the very nature of the gospel. And it starts with sin. Jesus Christ came to die for sinners. He came to save His people from their sin. You know, it bothers me, and I'm going to go ahead and hit this, and it makes people mad. I'm sorry. That's all I can say. And I ain't being mean. I ain't criticizing nobody. I'm just telling you like it is. There ain't nothing much gets under my skin worse than these silly little word games some of these little soul winner fellas want to play to try to lead somebody to the Lord that ain't got nothing to do, Brother Tim, with the gospel. And they'll come up to people and, oh, wouldn't you like to know you're going to heaven when you die? Well, sure, everybody'd like that. But that ain't the gospel.
Right. That's right.
Going to heaven when you die or not going to hell when you die is a benefit of being saved. That's not the issue. That is something that gets settled and you benefit from because you're saved. That ain't got nothing to do with saving you. You got to deal with God concerning your sin. Amen. You're in trouble with God because of your sin. That's singular, not sins. Not the pile of sins you've committed in your life, but sin, your very nature. You are a sinner before you're saved by the grace of God. And that's why you're in trouble with God. Amen. But the devil would love to do anything he could to misrepresent, amen, the nature of the gospel. Amen. I'm going to just go ahead and get it all while I can, while it's on my mind. You're never going to get saved, amen, by praying a prayer. Now, that's a good thing. If you know you're lost, come up here and pray. I ain't saying nothing against that. But praying that prayer don't save you. It's the power of God changing your life what saves you. Amen. You find yourself just a beggar up here on the altar, begging and waiting on God to do something. Ain't a thing you can do. You got to wait on God to do it in your heart. Amen. And I believe this, brother. I believe you wind up here and you're lost, and God's revealed that to you, and you're sincere and won't be saved. God will save you. Don't say that I went and preached that that ain't so. I am preaching that so. But I'm just saying there's nothing you can do. There's nothing, Brother Keith, you ever did that saved you or helped God save you. He don't need your help. Amen. That's exactly right. And it's leading people to the Lord. I know what they mean, and I know they don't necessarily mean nothing by it, Brother Keith, and I'm not jumping on them. But that's implying there's something you did that contributed to their salvation. And I see it on the internet all the time. Oh, I led so many to the Lord. I done this. I done that. We had 50 get led to the Lord in the Bible camp this week. Well, I hope they all got saved. But why ain't you giving glory to God? He's one saved them if they got saved, Brother Robert. Why you want to glorify yourself? Amen. I'll just go ahead and hit all while I'm at it. I ain't got nothing against a man, a preacher, going to get an education. If God tells him to do it, go down there to the schoolhouse. But when he gets out and starts preaching, why does he all the time got to talk like he's trying to glorify his degree instead of glorifying God? Amen. I know some of them, they'd get mad if you walked up to them and shook your hand and said, hello, so-and-so, and didn't say Dr. So-and-so. They'd act like you're offending them. Amen. Well, what's a title doctor? Big deal. Your brother, if you say. Amen. Why you got to make a big deal out of a title? You trying to make much of yourself is what you're trying to do. And don't tell me that ain't what they're trying to do. That's exactly what their heart's desiring to do. Amen. And I'll just be honest with you. I don't like it. I believe in glorifying God. I've had people, Brother Robert, when I've been in a conversation, said something, boy, I thank God for doing that. And they get mad because I didn't brag on them.
Yeah.
I'm talking about satanic desires against the nature of the gospel.
Yeah.
Amen. You're not saved because you prayed a prayer. You're not saved because you got baptized. You're not saved because you joined the church or you signed a card or you decided you're going to turn over a leaf and do better or because you went down to catechism and she speaks about the Catholic Church and that's messing straight out of hell. I don't mind saying it. That's right. Amen. That's right. That ain't the gospel. Hey, keeping the sacraments is not the gospel, Brother Keith. Hey, a bit more going to get you to heaven than eating a bowl of dog food. You'd be better off eating a bowl of dog food. At least you wouldn't be spiritually deceived in your heart. Thank you, Brother Keith. The devil tried to take that word out of my mouth. There's a many times, no doubt, when the gospel's preached. The Bible tells us about it over the parable of the soul. Amen. That first one fell by the wayside. Hey, that's what I'm talking about. If you ain't watching, the old devil, he'll come by. He'll steal the seed out of their heart as soon as you preach it to them. Why? Because the ground wasn't prepared to receive it. Amen. Brother Dish, you're an evangelist. You know exactly what I'm talking about. When you go to preach the gospel to somebody ain't got a clue, the first thing you've got to do is preach the law to them. Say, oh, well, wait a minute. We're saved by grace, not law. You got to hit them with the law, buddy. Because they've got to see they're a sinner before they'll ever realize they need salvation. They've got to see that. Is that right? Paul said, I wouldn't even know what sin was if it wasn't for the law. That's what defines it. That is our schoolmaster that leads us to Christ. Amen. You won't leave the law out when you're presenting the gospel to somebody. I hate to tell you, but it ain't going to work. God's got to get them lost and under conviction of sin before he'll save them. He don't have to. He could have done it any way he wants to. But that's the way God set it up. That's the way God works. And he don't change for nobody. Amen. Amen. We're talking about satanic desires against the nature of the gospel. Verse 16. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God's fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Amen. We know that the sheep, there's a difference, Brother Robert, between sheep and goats. The sheep's God's people.
Yeah.
It's talking about the church. And you mark her down, there are satanic desires against the nature of the church. Amen.
Yeah.
And I thank God for that. We know that Christ is the head of the church.
Yeah.
Not no man, not no association, not the Vatican, not the Pope,
right.
Not Billy Graham,
right.
Not Rick Warren.
Right.
Rick Warren says, I'm America's pastor. He ain't my pastor. I doubt he's even saved, Brother Keith. I don't know no man's heart, but I'm just telling you, I doubt the man's even saved. Amen. I heard him one time. Y'all don't hold this against me. I saw a clip on YouTube on the internet of him. And he was supposedly sharing the gospel with somebody, and this is what he told them people, Brother Keith. He said, God loves just watching you be you. Whatever you're wired to do, whatever you were born, you just do it to the fullest. And that makes God happy, because he made you that way. My question to Rick Warren is, you reckon it makes God happy for you just go crazy and act like a sinner? Because that's what you was made to be. I'd say Rick Warren ain't got a clue. I'm still back on the gospel, praise God. There's a nature for the church. Christ is the head of the church. Amen. You don't get in the church by getting baptized or coming to the watermelon supper and just spit a few seeds, decide you want to hook up and join. Amen. You got to get born into the family of God or you ain't allowed in the church. You've got to be born again before you can be a member of the church. Now, we know there's churches all over this country got lost people on the membership list. I'm going to tell you what, your name might be on the membership list, but you're in trouble if it ain't on that list up there.
Amen.
Amen. If your name ain't in the Lamb Book of Life, it don't matter how many church lists your name's on, you're in deep trouble. And you better start seeking God, praying God to open your eyes and give you light, you might be saved. Amen. There's a nature, there's a structure, Brother Todd, what the church is supposed to be. Amen. The church is supposed to be involved in missions. And thank God we are here. I think we're in line on that. We're commanded to get the gospel to every creature. That means everywhere in this world. I can't go. Brother Todd can't go. Brother Dennis can't go. Brother T.J. If every one of us, men in here that could, if God could send us off to the mission field, we still couldn't get to everybody. Amen. Somebody's got to go and us back them. That's right. That's God's way. That church at Antioch backed Paul and them when they went out. Amen. Is that right? It's right. It's the nature of the church to be concerned about sinners and be involved in missions. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, mission starts right here in our own backyard. Amen.
Yeah.
I told you it's going to be one of them nights, Bro T. I get tickled. These boys, they'll say they'll meet down at the church house one day a week. One day a week, say we're going soul winning.
Yeah.
But 5-6 days a week, they're on their job beside a lost man. 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, whatever they work, and they never say a word to him about the Lord. Oh, but they'll show up for soul winning night. Now, I ain't against going out knocking on doors trying to get people to God to get them in the church. Don't say I said that. That ain't what I'm saying. But there is something wrong with it when you'll just do it one day a week, and the only reason you do it is so you can run back to the church to the little hot dog supper afterwards and get patted on the back and be told how wonderful you are because you led 4 or 5 to the Lord. You're making it all about you. Brother Keith, the nature of the church is not to be self-centered, it's to be Christ-centered.
Amen.
Amen. I believe in giving God the glory for everything. It irritates me. Maybe I'm overboard. Y'all, if I am, y'all forgive me and pray for me. But it irritates me when people say a thing in a way that it makes sound like they're bragging on themselves. Brag on God for crying out loud. He's the one that did it. Amen. God saved you, Brother Todd. Nobody else did.
Right.
Did somebody give the gospel to you? Did somebody show you kindness? Somebody pray for you? Sure they did. And God uses all of that. But God Almighty saved your soul.
Right.
And the only reason they prayed for you and preached to you and witnessed to you is because God put it in their heart to do it.
Right.
He wouldn't have done that, you'd still be Lord knows where now.
Right.
Still lost. I would too. Brother Keith, you would too. God done this for us, amen. But there is a satanic attack, I'm telling you. The devil has satanic desires against the nature of the church. We better move on. Verse 17, and while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans have made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. I only am escaped alone to tell you. I want us to take a look at these camels for a minute. Being we don't live in the Middle East, we may or may not. Some of you that does a lot of Bible study, you can probably understand this. Everybody may not. But camels in the Middle East, especially in that day and time, when these scriptures were written, they were important. They were very important. They were used to transport goods from town to town and village to village and country to country. Camels is a type or a picture of business or prosperity. Prosperity. Because, you know, there weren't trains, there weren't planes, there weren't trucks back then for everybody to get their goods to the market. But they had to have them camels. That was a picture of prosperity. That was a necessary thing to be prosperous. Well, let's turn that around and look at that spiritually. There are satanic desires against Christian prosperity. Amen. Brother Keith, I'm rich in Christ.
Sure.
I don't have much of the things of this world. And I thank God for that. I know people probably think I'm a nut. They say, wouldn't you like to be rich? No. Not if they're good, not if this world's good. I said, for one thing, I said, like Grandpa always said, when that hearse goes down there to the big yard, they ain't gonna have no U-Haul hook behind it. I ain't gonna take a bit of it with me. Most of the time, all it does bring is trouble and temptation anyway.
Right.
I'm like anybody else. I want to have enough to live, be comfortable, have a roof over my head, food in my mouth, be able to help somebody once in a while if I can. Brother Todd, there ain't nothing wrong with that. The Bible tells us man should work that he might have to give those that don't have. Amen. If God gives us an overabundance of what we need, maybe it's God's intention for us to pass that on and help somebody don't have what we have. It'd be a good Christian testimony.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm rich in Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
But I hate to get on this, but I'm going to make this point. Just about all these clowns we was talking about. I was talking about these young men for church tonight. You see on TV, that's all they're about. Money.
Amen.
Money. That's right. Ain't no wonder Joel Osteen's grinning. He's got about $5 million a year coming into the bank account. If I was in love with the world and in love with money, amen, we know what the Bible says about that's the root of all evil. Amen. If I was still in love with money, if I had $5 million a year coming in, I'd be grinning too. I don't make him spiritual. Him or none of the rest of that crowd. It's always money. Send me some money so God will send you some money. I got news for him. I don't need him to put in a good word for me to God give me what I need. If I can go straight to God by way of the name of Jesus Christ. I don't need Joel Osteen or none of the rest of them crowds to go to God if I got a need. Miss Camille's already testified that night. And I ain't a betting man. I hate to almost use that language. But I'll put it like this. I wouldn't be a bit scared I'd be wrong if I'd sit here and tell you she didn't call Joel Osteen or Joyce Meyer and none of the rest of them and ask for no special prayers over her little letter so God meet that need this week.
Yeah.
They just want money. There are satanic desires against Christian prosperity. What is Christian prosperity? I'm rich in Christ, Brother Dennis. Hey, I've got eternal life. What in the world could I have be of anybody even compared to that? I have fellowship with God Almighty through His dear Son. What in the world could I have that would even compare to that? It doesn't compare to that.
Right.
That's being rich in Christ. You know, I hear a lot of people, and going back to them TV people, and folks like them, and they say, well, them poor folks out there sending them all that money and sitting in their crowd and watching them on TV, they're victims of them. I disagree with that. They're doing that because they desire in their own wicked hearts the things of this world just like they do, and they're lusting after it, and that's why they're chasing a pipe dream like that. That's exactly right, Brother. Is that not right? That's why they're fooled by that crowd. It's because that crowd's promising them a bunch of worldly mess that they're already lusting for in their heart, and that's why they're chasing after it instead of chasing after God. Is that right? I will say this. Jesus Christ said this. Don't look at me. I didn't say it. Jesus did. He said, my sheep know my voice, and they hear me.
Yeah.
He said, in the voice of a stranger, they will. Notice that? Didn't say might not. Said they will not follow.
Right.
Brother Robert, like I said before, I'm nobody's judge. I don't know nobody's heart. That's between them and God.
Yeah.
But just based on what the Word of God says, I know people for years and years, some of them 20, 30 years, has chased after that mess. And that's what they've desired in their heart. And they're chasing the voice of a stranger. I pray for them out of fear that they're probably not saved. The Bible says that you'll follow His voice. Is that right? The Word of God says, this is how you know that you know me, that you keep my commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The Bible tells us when you're saved, you're made a new creature in Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. I believe if somebody gets saved, they'll quit lusting and chasing after the things of the world and they'll start desiring the things of God. I believe that. I really do. Now, I know we're still flesh and there's things that tempt us, and that's not what I'm talking about. I ain't talking about being tempted with things and then having to repent of it. I'm talking about that's all your life ever is. Chasing a pipe dream, chasing the world, chasing money, chasing fame, chasing power. Amen? Maybe Brother Joe helped me. I done about quit count. I think got 4 or 5 on the Democrat side and 17 on the Republican side now, chasing the White House office. All they're doing is chasing after power and prestige. That's what they're chasing. I don't know their heart. But I'll say this. I ain't going to say it ain't a one of them, but I'll say there's probably very few of them even really cares about getting up there and doing anything that's right because it's right. They care about getting up there and getting in that position of power so they can line their pockets and the pockets of all their buddies that's putting up all that money to get. See, I ain't real stupid. If there's people giving them $5-10 million or whatever they're giving some of these billionaires to try to help them get up there, they're expecting something in return. Them people don't shell out checks without looking for a return on their investment. Like Brother Robert said, I ain't no dummy. And I didn't have to go down there to big school on the hill to learn that. God taught me that. See, you can tell a lot of times, Brother Keith, what people's motive of is in their heart by how they're behaving. And that's exactly right. I heard a fellow say one time, and I liked it. He said the President of the United States gets paid $400,000 a year. Well, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And he said, why in the world would somebody spend whatever it is, a couple, $300 million to get a $400,000 a year job? Unless there's something coming under the table other than that. They ain't shelling out that kind of investment to get in there just for that. And I'll tell you what, I hate to break your heart, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. They ain't doing it to get in there and do what's right. None of them. I don't know of one of them running that really wants to get in there and do what's right. Oh, there's a couple of them that will speak out against things that's close to our heart. But they'll get in there, it'll probably be just like the rest of them that had an R beside their name. They'll tell us that and we'll vote them in. And then when they get in there, they do nothing. They don't do a thing about it. George Bush told us he's against abortion. George Bush told us he's against gay marriage. He appointed two people to the Supreme Court. Two during his tenure. Both of them voted for gay marriage. People jumping up and down, hooting, hollering about all them judges before it went to Supreme Court. I don't know what the final tally was, Brother Keith, but you know, them judges just made a decision. Well, you're going to have to recognize gay marriage in this state. Sodomite marriage is what it really is. Out of the first 21, 17 of them, of those judges, were appointed to their bench either by George W. Bush or his daddy. I didn't leave but four. Three of them was appointed by Obama and one by Clinton. So you tell me, they'll stand there and tell you whatever you want to hear to get their vote, your vote. Hey, man. Lord knows I don't even know why I got off on that. The very nature of Christian prosperity. I'm rich in Christ, Brother Robert.
Yeah.
I need some of the goods of this world to live. That's just fact. But I don't need more than I need. And I don't need way more than I need. And then sit around, what the Bible talks, you look at Lazarus and the rich man. I don't know how many dollars the old rich man had in the bank, but he was pretty tight with it because he let Lazarus lay out there and eat the crumbs, buddy, and let dogs lick these sores. He didn't even as much as throw him a sandwich from what I read in the scripture or pay for him to go down to the doctor and get no help. That's what over in Proverbs it talks about the rich oppressing the poor. And God said that's an abomination. Said that's sin. Amen.
Yeah.
The very nature of Christian prosperity. There is satanic desires against the very nature of God. Let's look at verse 18. And this one I really want to hit. While he was yet speaking, there came also another. And said, thy sons and thy daughters are eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Amen. We've talked about their satanic desires against the nature of the gospel, the nature of the church, the nature of true Christian prosperity, and there are satanic desires against the nature of the family.
Amen.
Amen. The devil wants to destroy the family.
Yeah.
Not just your family, Brother Keith. Not just my family. Not just Christian folks' families. He wants to destroy all family.
Yeah.
He hates family. Because the very structure of the family is a picture of the perfect will of God for humankind. Is that right? It's for a man and a woman to come together and marry for life, amen, and have children and keep bringing forth people into this world. That's the will of God. Is that right? There's some of us in here that has fell out of that structure. Does that make us terrible people? Absolutely not. God still saved us by His good mercy, and He still blessed those that's outside of that. But I'm just telling you, that is the perfect will of God. That's just right. And He wants to destroy it. Brother Joe, that's why the devil wants to destroy 1 million babies in their mother's womb every year. That's why they can sit there, and I don't want to get too graphic, but do what these videos have been showing that they do and sell their little body parts for money. And they sit there and talk about it while they're discussing it. And you can tell there's not even a beginning of any conscience of doing any wrong. Those people's conscience are seared. God help, they're probably reprobate, Brother Shirley. There's probably no help for them.
Leave that.
Satan wants to destroy the family, Miss Camille. Why? Brother Robert, he knows if he can get in the family, then he can start tearing up the community. If he can start destroying the family, he can start tearing up the church. If he can start tearing up all that, he can start tearing up the country. I say, within the limits God's given him over the last probably at least 50 years, if not 100, he's done a pretty good job of what God's allowed him. Is that right? The divorce rate through the roof. People living out of wedlock through the roof. Children being born out of wedlock through the roof. Almost 60 million children. And they tell me, this is what I was talking to a fellow that knows a good bit about this. He said all abortions don't get reported. He said, so if they're telling you it's almost 60 million, it's probably closer to 100. Since 1973. Is that right? What was it? 1962, took the Bible out of school. 63, took prayer out of school. 73, legalized abortion. Now here we were this year, 2015, they legalized sodomite marriage. How much further does it have to go, Brother Joe, before we'll stand up and scream and say enough? Now, I understand from the context of this, and I hope you get this. It's like I said, Job had no idea that it was Satan cut loose on him or why. He just trusted God was in control, and he was. But I'm going to tell you what, it's right to do a certain thing or do some things in response to the things that's going on. I know it's right to pray. It's right to contend for the faith and take a stand. Is that right, Brother Joe? Is that right, Brother Keith? I can't believe. I think the last time I looked, they said that 100,000 people in this country, what we believe is a Christian country founded on Christian principles, 100,000 people had signed a petition that they're going to send to President Obama's desk wanting that man that killed that lion over in Africa sent over there to face charges. But yet I hear, with the exception of a few lone voices from the Christian community, really standing up and making much noise at all about what's going on down there in the abortion clinics. Really?
Look what they voted on in Congress.
That's what I was talking about that. They'll tell us one thing, get her vote, and then turn around and do something else. Brother Keith, I believe we're a Christian nation, just like you do. Based on the fact that's what this country was founded on. But I think you would agree with me. We have to be honest and admit the great majority of the people living in this country in this day and time has no clue or no desire of Christianity or what it even is, much less have it.
Amen.
And that's why we're getting the leaders we have, is because even if we show up at the polls and go down there and try to get good, honest, good, God-fearing people in there, that crowd's overwhelmed us. Personally, I may be wrong. If I am, God forgive me and y'all forgive me. I believe it's the judgment of God on this country.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I also know this. As bad as it's gotten, He still has His hand upon the church, protecting us.
Yeah.
It looks like the persecution's coming. And we know it is. But really, to be honest, up to this point, compared to some other places in the world, we've not really had to face no real bad persecution yet. God's been good to this country. But I'm going to tell you what I fear. I really fear that if the church doesn't get serious, and the church doesn't stay on her face in prayer. And, hey, I think about over in that 2 Chronicles 7:14, Brother Key, said, if my people, which are called by my name, said, will pray and seek my face. Hey, you get over where God said, this is conditional. So if you'll do this, I'll heal your land. But then it gets to that last little one. It says, and turn from your wicked ways.
Yes.
That's where most professing Christian people, and I mean, I'm just including everybody that claims to be a Christian, that's where they hit the stump and stop, Brother Robert. They'll not turn from their wicked ways. They'll not turn from their love for the world.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And maybe that's why God said, well, I ain't going to heal your land. We need to get serious and look at ourselves. The Bible says judgment begins at the house of God.
Yeah.
I thank God for good churches like we have, Brother Milby, Brother Larry. I mean, men we know around this country with good, solid, strong churches. Brother Kevin. But most places that call themselves church, we know they're just as worldly as the world.
Yeah.
And they have forsaken and threw away truth a long time ago. And my last point there was the devil would love to tear up the home, the family. There's no more important family on the face of this earth than God's family. Is that right?
Yeah.
These young men right here, young men, I respect y'all. I do. I appreciate what God's done for you. I appreciate you here. You're faithful. I know your parents bring you. But I believe you've grown and on your own you'd still be here. I believe that. I believe God's put that in your heart. If God tarries and He don't come back real soon, y'all are the future of this church. Y'all are the future. You're going to be the backbone of the family of God at Westside Baptist one of these days if God tarries.
Yeah.
Me and Brother Hyatt, Brother Keith, Brother Todd, Brother Robert, some of us, y'all boys may live long enough to see a time come. We'll pass away and go into glory and we'll be gone. What you going to do? What you going to do, Kenny? I ain't picking on you. I love you, son. But I'm just saying, what you going to do? Get settled in your heart right now. You're going to live for God no matter what. You better be more scared of God than you are man. If you can ever get to that point, Justin, where you're more worried about what God thinks than what man thinks, buddy, you're going to be just fine. Brother Todd, I'm at a point in the time of my life I know I ain't getting no younger. I gave up a long time ago trying to impress people and trying to worry about who likes me and don't like me. I'm just doing my best to try to help people, sinners and saints alike, love them the best I know how and tell the truth. But by George, by the grace of God, I'm not going to back up and I'm not going to compromise. It's too important. It's too important. I want him to grow up in a church where he sees the men in the church, the leadership of the church, standing for God and trusting God and doing what's right. So he'll grow up and do that. And if you don't think our testimony, Brother Dennis, you know it. You got all them grandkids. You don't think they ain't looking at us, buddy, and watching us for the signal of what to do. You're missing it.
Yeah.
Brother Robert, your boys back there, they're looking at you. The family. I'm talking about the family. The devil would love to tear it up. But I know one greater than the devil. And I'll promise you, Brother Robert, if you'll hold on to him. If you'll hold on to him. Amen?
Yeah.
I appreciate your friendship.
Yes.
I appreciate your testimony. Boy, I do. I thank God for doing that in your life. It's made a big difference in mine.
Amen.
Brother Joe, same thing. I appreciate these men that's older than me, been down the road a lot further than I have. They may not think I do sometimes, but I'm listening to what they say and I'm watching them. Because I learn from you. That's what these young fellows ought to be doing, is learning from you. Is that right, Brother Keith? I appreciate your family, Brother Keith. I know y'all had some hard knocks. You mentioned it earlier. They would have been Daniel's birthday. I have no idea why that happened. But Brother Keith, if I could take the liberty to just say this. You know by heart, God's got a purpose in it. And He's going to be glorified in that somehow one day.
Yeah.
Amen. And we're all going to be all right one day. We're going to be somewhere where all the tears are going to be wiped away. And we're going to have a big smile on our face and be with God, Brother Dennis. Praise God. I'm done. I feel like I've said what God wants me to say. Altar's open. Sister Linda, if you're going to come play some.